You give us the privilege of being called your sheep and belonging to your flock and spending our lives in the hollow of your hand. As we worship you this morning, give to us, we pray, the sense of that reality. Help us to feel the goodness of it and the power of your loving hand wrapped around us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well done. And lovely singing this morning, incidentally. I think unaccompanied singing is such a joy. Just the sound of the voices joining together in praise and worship. It's so lovely. It sounded great up here anyway. I was sorry when the hymn came to an end. I've got one verse for you this morning. Well, two actually, but they run together so well. You might like to look at them because they are so lovely. On page 591 in the Church Bible, page 591, or in Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24, 591. And as you will find, they match both the epistle and the gospel. For the epistle promised God's keeping power right through the changes and chances of this life and right through into his presence as the God of all grace. That lovely reading in 1 Peter began with all our needs and ended with all his grace. And then we read in the gospel about how no one can snatch us out of the hand of Jesus, and he gives us eternal life, and we will never perish. Well, the Bible always speaks with one voice. We have the silly habit of dividing it into two testaments instead of seeing it as one book. So here are the same great truths in what we have been brought up to call the Old Testament. Now remember, if we had gone to Jesus and said, "Why do you keep quoting the Old Testament?" he would have replied, "The old what?" "Oh, you mean the Word of God. Why do you call it by such a strange name?" The Bible. All one book, all one voice, all one great truth. Truth. And here is this lovely truth in Psalm 73. Verse 23, page 591, bottom of the left-hand column. "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel." And afterward, "you will receive me." And our Bible says, "with honor." And the old translation said, "you will receive me to glory." Isn't that good? Four things. I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you receive me. You receive me with honor. You receive me to glory. When I have the privilege of meeting people in preparation for a funeral and speaking to them in their bereavement, I often venture to say, "Dear ones, if you're not reading the Bible, how you are depriving yourselves. What wondrous things there are written in God's book. One, I am continually with you. 2, you hold my right hand. 3, you guide me with your counsel. 4, and afterward, you receive me with honor to glory. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't your heart lift when you hear words like that? First of all, we have peace with God. I am continually with you. The I is David writing the psalm. Is it a psalm of David? No, Asaph. The I is Asaph writing his psalm. I am continually with you. And the you is the Lord. I, the man, am continually with you, the divine Lord. Of course, he's continually with us. That's the presence of God. But that I should be continually with him is having peace with God. I'm in his presence. All is well between us. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a bit surprised that that comes first. Do you remember on that evening of the Easter day, the first Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead? And John tells us how he came to his disciples in the evening when the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. And shut doors meant nothing to Jesus. And he came and stood in the midst and said, you're saying it to yourself? Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, as though to say, you see, this peace is not a fancy, it's a real thing. You have peace with God through the blood of the cross. You have peace with God because I died in your place and made things all right. It was his first word to them when he came to them after rising from the dead, as though to remind us that peace with God is the first fruits of Calvary. The very first blessing that comes to us from the cross of Christ, we have peace with God. All's well. The war is over. Peace has broken out. We have peace with God. I am continually with you. Will you remember to look up Psalm 73:23 when you go home? And what's the second thing? You hold my right hand. The second thing is the power of God at work in our lives. We have the security of God's strength. Back at the beginning of the psalm, look in verse 2. As for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Have you ever had that experience? You go out on a frosty morning and you suddenly find that your left heel is moving forward faster than the rest of your body. And you're almost over. And some kindly friend puts a hand under your elbow. And you're all right again. You're steadied. My steps had almost slipped. Your right hand holds me. We have the constancy of the Lord's presence. You know the story of the disciples in a boat, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And then there's a very strange thing. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. I was always puzzled. Why ever should he want to say that? And when our Kate was a little girl, somebody gave her a ladybird book. Lovely, lovely books. A ladybird book called The Little Boat That Almost Sank. And I discovered at last an explanation. Why did Peter cry out, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you walking on the water? Because, said the ladybird book, in a storm, it's safer to be with Jesus than in a boat. Isn't that great? Mind you, the picture accompanying that You'd wonder that the disciples were allowed out on their own along the street, never mind in a boat, because they were such a collection of bald heads, grey hairs and long beards. Not fit to go rowing anywhere, in my opinion. But they were, and it was safer to be with Jesus. But when Peter walked on the water to come to Jesus, suddenly he became aware of the wind and the waves, and he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus reached out his hand and took him. "You hold me with your right hand." The power of God safeguarding us along life's pathway. Number three, "You guide me with your counsel." One of the great problems of life, it seems to me, I think I'm right, one of the great problems of life is that things happen and we can't see any rhyme or reason. You ever felt like that? You know, out of a clear blue sky, trouble, disappointment, sorrow, difficulties of circumstance, difficulties with other people, bereavements. We see no purpose, but there always is. "You guide me with your counsel." Our security is not in what we see, but in the fact that God is working his purpose out for you and me, day by day, come wind, come weather, and if we're in the soup, he has decided whether it's oxtail or mulligatawny, and he has also decided how hot it's going to be, and how long we're going to stay there, and it's all part of his marvelous plan. "You guide me with your counsel." Sometime in the last century, there was an American. His surname was Spafford, and his initials were H.G., and that's about all I know about him as a person. But I do know that he felt very much called by God to come from America to this country and to engage in the work of the gospel. And he had a wife and four children, and the plan was that he would come to this country and set up a home and they would follow him. And so it was. And he did come, and he did set up a home, and he sent for his wife and family. And there was a storm at sea, and they were all drowned. And he left behind him for us, a most wonderful, wonderful hymn. And you may or may not know it. It has the verse in it, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well, O my soul." That's what this verse is telling us. We're in the hand of God. We can't be snatched out of it. "Where was I when the trouble fell? I was there in the hollow of his hand." "Where was he when the trouble fell? He was there gripping me tight. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, even so, it is well with my soul. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." And then there's number four. and afterwards. Have you had the life assurance man call lately, wanting you to take out a new policy? You know the way when they call, they never talk about anybody dying. Life assurance man, and he never talks about anybody dying. No, no, he says, and if anything should happen. My word, if anything should happen. That's the thing that keeps him in a job, the certainty that the anything will happen. But will he talk about it? And your life assurance policy matures at the edge of the grave. And that's the end of it. It carries no further guarantee. And it's only the Bible that can say afterwards. Isn't that marvelous? It is only the Bible that dares to say that word afterwards. Afterwards what? Afterwards glory. Afterwards honor. Afterwards a welcome home. Afterwards thou wilt receive me. I often think of the way we, Beryl and I, anticipate any coming of our children, because when we lived in Devon, they were all three at a distance from us. And we used to say, it's lovely, Kate's coming on Tuesday. Stephen will be here next week. Mark will be with us on Monday. You know, parents do that, don't they? We anticipate, and the glorious moment comes when we fling the door open and there they are. Don't you think the Heavenly Father is like that? Don't you think he says to his son, isn't it lovely? So-and-so is coming home next week. Afterwards, receive me to glory. Don't you think so? None of us wants to die. We don't want the experience for ourselves or the fuss for our loved ones. But the Bible says, it's in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And of course the saints are you and me, those who believe in Jesus. We're the saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's something valuable, something he wears like a bright jewel. Because it's when we die that he's able to bestow upon us the full reality and experience of our salvation. Precious. The first Christian martyr was, saying his name to yourself, Bible quiz time, first Christian martyr was Stephen. And when he was dying, you'll read all about it in Acts 7, when he was dying, he cried out, he said, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of power. And it's the only place where Jesus is spoken of as standing in heaven. Always he's seated because his work is done. But there's something that fetches him off the throne when he rises to welcome his own coming home. Afterwards, receive me to glory.